Yo, what is up? Sedano, LZ, and Cap, the SLK, is on the airwaves of 710 ESPN. And hey, television's Clinton Yates, a very handsome man, filling in beautifully for Sedano and LZ. What do you say, CY?
Excellent open. Thank you for that, Mr. Kaplan. Your application to the community is still pending. We're checking on your references. We'll see how that goes. Now, for all the ridiculous stories that were brought up in the open, I got to tell you guys, your boy is scrambling a little bit today. That whole bit about letting other people pack my stuff backfired tremendously in my face this morning.
Shocking.
When I needed,
shocker.
Shocker. When I needed various things and had no idea where they were and was screaming through boxes first thing this AM trying to find various wires and cords. I'm a little rattled, but I'm a gamer, Scott, a pro's pro. And I'm here. I look great. I smell even better. And I'm ready to rock.
I believe that that would be the case, but I want to just say one thing. You know, if you're going to pay somebody to pack and move, you know what else you got to pay them to do?
Sort.
Unpack, right.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, this I did not expect to be up against the deadline with the unpack. I boxed myself into that corner, pun intended, and it did not work out well.
Yeah, because I was watching Around the Horn earlier. I was like, all right, good, Clinton's going to be on Around the Horn. I want to hear what he's going to talk about. I want to see what stories they might cover. And I turned on Around the Horn, and I think Bill Plaschke was sleeping on the set of Around the Horn. I'm not sure, but I think that he was sleeping. I'm
love
not positive.
Bill. I'll back on Thursday, but things are well, and I'm here now. So,
all right, now let us turn our attentions, and I'll start off with a good afternoon to Greg Bergman. Greg, how you feeling today? You good?
I'm feeling great. I was pretty happy with that open. It was very funny. The Uber line on Laura was a strong line from Chris.
I was like, wow, Chris. Okay, you're gonna do me like that.
That was good. No. That was good.
And the whole thing is that before the open even played, Brionna said to me off air. He said, Laura's got a hickey from her hike today.
And I don't.
I went, okay, wait a second. And then Chris went into it. First of all, I didn't know Brionis got bit by a black widow.
Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, y'all didn't see his like fatty foot on Twitter.
Oh my God, wow. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I did see that. I'm like, what am I looking at here exactly? Okay, so he got bit on the foot by a big old spider of some kind, right?
Yeah, he was bit on the foot while he was cleaning out his garage, and it was by a black widow spider, and he had to miss yesterday because he had to go to the urgent care.
Yeah, what happens when you get bit by a black widow? Like, are you on the verge of, like, death if you don't get there by a certain time? Is somebody supposed to suck the venom out of your foot? How does that go?
That's really what you wanted to get to. Somebody sucking on his feet.
That's exactly.
Really disgusting.
That was the entire point.
I completely missed the whole thing. I didn't even realize it. But what are you supposed to do when a black widow bites you like that?
Go to the hospital,
man. If I ever get stung by a black widow, guys, like, if I get stung at Rams camp tomorrow by a black widow, Kaplan, do not try to suck it out of my feet, okay? Please don't do that. That's not the protocol.
Take him to the ER. Hey, call the ambulance.
I won't do it, but I just want to say one thing. If it was a matter of life and death, I'm the guy, okay? I care. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. That your application still pending, okay. But that has been noted in your file.
All right. So then work us backwards here. Now, Laura, I saw your tweet earlier today.
Uh-huh.
I saw something happening on your neck.
I
was like, I didn't quite gather what took place. So can you fill us in?
Sure. So I went hiking. I like to go hiking. I've said that before. And I got a little like, it was hot, man. It was hot. I was, you know, jogging and stuff. So I looked up just to kind of like catch my breath. All of a sudden, I feel something like on my neck and I felt like a little sting. And I was like, whoa. So I like moved it with my hand and kept going. I was like, I didn't think anything of it. Once I get up to the top, I'm like, man, my neck is really itchy. Just like really, really itchy. And I started scratching it. Probably not the good idea. And I look at like, take out my phone, take a picture. And I see like my neck was just like red and it started getting swollen. And I was like, oh, man, like, I hope I don't have to go to the ER. I don't know what bit me. I didn't even know what actually stung me, you know what I mean? Because I was looking up, so that's kind of what happened.
This is a swell itch, not a rash itch.
Yes.
If I met.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So right. That's, to me, in my personal experience, that's a little easier to deal with. Rash itches are a grade more annoying, in my personal opinion, but that still sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and then the worst part was, so I'm like, okay, I gotta like jog back down because I don't know how I need to deal with this, right? So I'm jogging back down like the last stretch. All of a sudden, something tries to fly into my mouth and I'm like, poof, ew, ew. And then it's just like, I just feel it like hit my lip. Now I have like a little bump on my lip from, because it was like the velocity hit me. And I also hit myself with my little water bottle thing. And I was like, man, just my hike was not it today. Like it was just not, it was not my day to go hiking today.
So but, you got bit by something on the neck, but you're not sure what.
No, but Benadryl did help. Shout out to everybody who said I needed to use Benadryl on Twitter because it did help.
Okay. And then you also took one to the lip by some other insect that is now creating a problem for you.
I think it was like a what is it, like a dragonfly because it looked big. And I'm just like,
dragonflies are pretty large.
Bro. I was like, ew, it was trying to go in my mouth. It was so gross. It was nasty.
Oh, man. I feel
what
for
an
you,
eventful
sister.
Day.
Yeah. So, Clint, I felt you when you were like, man, my day has been like a day.
Yeah,
and a half.
No, that's what I'm saying. You. Like, you know, we're a little split squad. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's a little dinged up this time of year, Cap. You know, it's the dog days. You know, that's how it works, Greg. So we're still here. We're getting it done.
I got to say, getting stung by an insect, like, a bee, for example. You know, I've gotten stung by a bee and thought, oh, come on, what's the big deal? All right, so it hurts for a few minutes. You know, you take out the thing. And I know there are other people that are highly allergic. And what do they call those things that you have to have with you all the time? When
EpiPens.
EpiPen, yeah. Like, if you get stung by a bee, it could be like a really big problem. But I've gotten stung by a bee. I don't have any allergy. But let me tell you something. It could itch for weeks after being stung by a bee. So being stung by some sort of a insect in the neck sounds really, really bad. Eesh. And then
that puts you out of commission on a lot of like fashion levels too. You got to switch up the neckwear. Your shirt game is altered. That's a very annoying bite on your foot that you want to, you know, deal with, Kaplan, yourself. That's a different matter. You put some socks and some shoes on. You kind of get through it on your neck. That's part of the presentation package.
Right?
You know, that's difficult.
I would have to bust a Sedano and wear turtlenecks, but I'm in Cali and it's like, ooh, you know what's
that's tough. Yeah, summer scarves.
And then I get home and I'm like scratching and itching and my mom's like, let me see your neck right now. Hold up. And I'm like, Ma, it's not like that. Like it's not. And she looks
so this
she's
is
like,
where
something
the, this
bit
is
you.
Where the hickey rumor came from, your mom.
Yeah, right? My mom. No, actually Twitter. I forgot the guy's name that was like, don't be lying, it's a hickey. I'm like, what?
Well, right.
I was like,
because
I don't know what kind of hickeys you got because they don't look like that.
Yeah, your mom was probably like, is that from that guy that came over last week that didn't introduce himself? Is that from him?
This is gonna come up.
I don't know what's worse though, getting stung in the neck by something that you don't know for sure what got you. Or being stung in the foot and having your foot blow up and have to go to the ER and then miss work all because you got bit by a spider on your foot. It all sounds bad to me.
I think George's thing was worse, but it's also because he's a stubborn guy and should have gone to the ER sooner probably.
So he played on it, as we like to say.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man.
Should have gone to the trainer. Mm-hmm. By the way, the lesson here, Scott, is that everything is worse than a hickey, by the way.
Oh. Okay, that is a good lesson to learn. Yeah. I wonder how big is a black widow spider? I mean, is it small, like where you wouldn't even see it and feel it, or is it like gigantic, where it's hairy and like you know, like big? You know,
I have no idea.
Like you know, I like I think of it as like the main body being the size of a golf ball.
Right.
Is it big like that?
Situation. I'm not an arachnoid expert, so
no.
Sorry.
I know, but I just was hoping you'd have an answer or at least make one up. Yeah. But I guess that didn't happen. I didn't have anything like that today, Laura, although I did, I will say, I walked outside today, and I walked through a spider web that I didn't see, and while I didn't get bit by anything, you know that feeling when the spider web is all over you, and you can start to pull it, but then it's just sticking, and then I know
eyelashes.
It's in my hair.
It's a pain, yeah.
Yeah, it's in my hair, and then like anything I feel the rest of the day, I'm like, okay, something's crawling on me. Okay, wait, where is it? You know, so.
Yeah, I get it. It's a rough day, Greg. Have you had any mishaps with you, sir?
Today? No, actually, today's been pretty calm. Pretty busy.
That.
No,
I'm not. You were orchestrating the madness, weren't you?
Exactly. I have not been bit by anything, thankfully. So, you know, feeling pretty good over here.
Because of that.
That's
all right. Well, and Clinton, just to before we get started today, your move has created problems for you. You can't find stuff. You have it unpacked. See, for me, if somebody packed for me and then moved me, the very first thing I do is like, okay, I'm going to get there and I'm going to start unpacking because I want to get as comfortable as I can, as quickly as I can. You obviously decided maybe that you're going to live out of boxes for a little bit.
Dude, there's no way I was in that kind of fifth gear. All right. The whole reason why people packed for me is because I was downshifting big time so I could figure this out. You know, in the past couple of days, I've spent sitting on the roof in the jacuzzi chilling out. You know what I'm saying? Recovery days as opposed to unpacking. So, you know, we teach accountability in this program. And today, kind of missed an early conditioning workout. So, yeah, I'm going to be running some laps.
So are you a dude that likes to just let those boxes sit there for like good six months?
I'm not a dude that does any of this, okay? This is the first time I've done anything in this car.
You've never moved before? When you
I've moved before, but I've never had anybody pack it for me.
Well, which is fine. So, listen to the question.
And I'm reaping, sowing is happening in this room right now, okay? It's very difficult to deal with.
No, but when you do move, do you let the boxes sit there for a good 6 months, or are they gone within like a week?
6 months is a long time. 3 months is not that long. This is going to be done.
Three months is not that long.
Two weeks is not. This is going to be done in a pay period, bro. I can't look at this any longer. It's just
not we do get paid weekly, so yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's funny, man. Right. That's very funny. All right, well, listen, Clinton Yates is in today. Obviously, he's been in all week. He's going to be in all week. And tomorrow, we will be at Rams training camp. So I've already been getting hit up by a lot of people, Clinton, on Twitter, saying, depending on who you're going to have on, ask them this, ask them that. We want to hear about this. So I get it. We will be at Rams training camp tomorrow. And if you have questions for the front office, you can hit us up. If you've got questions for the players, we'll take those as well, and perhaps we'll even incorporate them tomorrow afternoon. But we will be live tomorrow from Rams training camp, and I don't know about you, Clinton, but I'm really looking forward to checking it out. I know it's early. It's only the first couple days, but I'm very excited to get out there and see what's going on.
Me too, and I think it's one of those things, too, where, you know, and you know this better than I am. You've been around more NFL locker rooms than I have, but early in the season, morale is higher. Guys are a little bit more pumped. Everybody's in the alleged best shape of their life, which I'm not making fun of. I'm just saying, you know, and people feel better about their chances, even though it's very cutthroat, you know, than you're going to get in like a week five division barn burner. You know what I'm saying? Like the hope is kind of there in training camp. And this is a good team that's made some additions. They've had some problems. But, you know, I think the outlook for what the Rams are going to be this season is pretty rosy, you know, and that's a reasonable assessment, not just somebody talking as an LA resident.
Yep. I think there's a lot of hype around the Rams, mostly because everybody in the world of football thinks that they upgraded so significantly at quarterback that this is going to be the one personnel move that's going to make all the difference in a team that 2 years ago was in the Super Bowl and last year was in the playoffs. It was 2 years ago. It was 3 years ago. Anybody? Anyway, you understand what I'm saying, that this is a team that still made it to the playoffs last year and has upgraded their quarterback. That's the popular opinion. I just want to see it, feel the vibe, what's going on early in training camp, see what Stafford looks like, watch him operate. And again, I know it's early, but I'm pretty excited to get out there. So we'll be there tomorrow from Rams training camp. As for today, Clinton Yates, big story will happen tonight, and that is the Dodgers and the Giants yet again. Giants took 3 out of 4 last week here in L.A. Now the Dodgers go to San Francisco. Giants have this lead in the division. Dodgers not too far back. I can tell you this, as a Padres fan, I'd love to see the Dodgers sweep the Giants. I would love to see this logjam get a little bit tighter. Then again, the Padres would have to do their part. But I'm really excited about this series starting tonight. San Francisco, L.A., great opportunity yet again for the Dodgers, this time to go to San Francisco and return the favor of what happened last week in L.A. What do you think about this?
It's more than a great opportunity. It's a must win. I would go so far as to say that if you are a fan of Major League Baseball in California, period, you have to watch every inning in this series. I mean, what are we talking about here? We're log jammed in the dog days. The Dodgers just got through blowing a gasket, never mind blowing the series to the Giants. And they got a chance to get him back in a shorty, a little three-gamer. You know what I mean? I love a little shorty series because it tests you a little bit differently. You can't just sort of rely on a stopper, if you will, as a starter in the fourth game. And like, yeah, the Dodgers very much need this. You know, the numbers are one thing. The momentum is another, but the numbers are another. They need the wins and they need the momentum. Coming off of that Rocky series that we talked about, they got things back together. But like, Greg, you got to be watching this with a pretty close eye if you're a hardcore Dodgers fan like yourself.
Yeah, I would love for them to win this series and keep it at least one game back or stick around. I mean, they can't stay at 2. It's either 1 or 3 that's hopefully going to happen. But either way, I don't think this is must win. I think even if they get swept, which I really hope it doesn't happen, I don't think it will happen. I don't think it's the end of the world and it's must win by any means.
I'm going to dig down on that a little bit. What does their season series against the Giants come to if they get swept?
If they get swept in this, then I don't know the exact numbers, but it's right around even. They were 5-8 at one point.
It's right around even, but from a tiebreaker standpoint in the division, that's a massive deal.
They're going to play again. So, I mean, it's going to be close enough. These series against the Padres and the Giants were always 19 games. Someone was going to win one game. That was going to be enough. So it's going to happen again. They're going to play the Giants again later on down the line, and that could very well mean way more than this does. I think it makes a big difference to them just in general if they do win this, because it's like, oh, hey, all right, we're coming back from last week's debacles when they should have won 3 or 4, but it doesn't mean it's the end of the season or anything along those lines where it's must win. You said must win. You said must win.
It's a must win in the context of the numbers. The games in July count the same as the games in April, the games in September.
They do, but I don't think this is must win in the fact, like, if they get swept, that the season's over and they're going to end up in the wild card. I don't think that. I think
The season's over. But I mean, like, what I'm saying is that, like, you don't want the Giants, and I don't mean to jump on you about that, but don't want the Giants believing they're a better team on the diamond, even if on paper the roster doesn't add up. That's why it's a must win to me. You're
totally
coming off
agree.
A series on the schedule, on the calendar rather, that's just there. And that's what I'm saying. It's like you can't lose two straight series effectively to the Giants and have the proper, I don't want to say motivation, but just the proper, you know, gumption. I just think this is a must-win series to me. It really is.
So think about it this way. Sorry, Cap.
Go ahead.
5, 6, 7, 8 in the Dodgers lineup. Cody Bellinger, who just got back from being a little bit injured.
Right,
he's been terrible. He's been terrible recently, but he finally had a couple hits in his last start before he got actually injured. But then it's A.J. Pollock, who's been really good in the outfield. But still, it's still A.J. Pollock. Billy McKinney and Luke Rayleigh. Like, these are not guys that you're expecting to really do anything at the bottom of the lineup. I just don't think that these guys that you're seeing on the field, if they win, awesome. But I'm not counting on Billy McKinney and Luke Rayleigh or Cody Bellinger right now.
We're not playing A-team for A-team.
No, absolutely not.
All right, I get it.
And listen, again, Dodger fan here, you're only two games back. You know, no, I'm saying if you're a Dodger fan here, you're only two games back. I mean, you're 61-40, you're two games back. San Francisco's 62-37, and the Dodgers have kept pace without a lot of their star players. With guys missing, with guys getting hurt, guys hitting the IL. So, look, tonight is a huge series. I think everybody's going to be watching it. First place is on the line, and we'll get into it. But the trade deadline is around the corner, and there's a lot of rumors circulating around the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres. We'll get to those rumors right around the corner. But coming up next, time to play Bash for Cash. You're going to win money from 710 ESPN, and you're going to win that money coming right up. So listen for your cue to call. Bash for Cash is coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, it's the SLK on 710 ESPN. Sedano out on vacation this week. LZ on the extended 2-week summer break. Clinton Yates in the house.
What's up? How we doing?
All right. Greg Bergman is here. Laura Romo, a.k.a. Unique at UNEQ underscore, is in the house. And right now it is time to play Bash for Cash. Let's say good afternoon to Jeff Alexander from Santa Clarita. Hey, Jeff, you're our Bash for Cash contestant. How you doing, man?
What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, good. Thanks.
All right. Now, just for being the Bash for Cash contestant today, you've won a virtual meet and greet with Mookie Betts. How do you like that?
Oh, that's sweet.
All right. This is all courtesy of Body Armor. It's more than a sports drink. Stock up on Body Armor sports drink today at your local Albertsons. All right, Jeff, here's the deal, man. Here's how it works. You pick an Angel player or a Dodger player to hit a home run, and in what inning. If you get the right player, we're going to give you $200. If you get the right player in the right inning, we're going to give you $400. But for everybody else, if Jeff doesn't get it right today, tomorrow the cash prize goes up to $300 and $600. So Jeff Alexander, Santa Clarita, you tell us, what's your prediction? Who's going to hit a home run and in what inning?
Of course, Dodgers, JT in the first.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. That's an off-the-board pick. We've had a lot of Ohtani picks. Thank you, Jeff. By the by, make sure you listen tomorrow at 4:15 p.m. when we have another Bash for Cash contestant. Special thanks to Owning, bringing safety and simplicity to refinancing your home. Visit owning.com for more info today.
All right. Good luck to Jeff Alexander from Santa Clarita. He said, of course, a Dodger.
Yeah, he was strong with that. He came very correct with that because we'd had a lot of Shohei entries recently when I've been on and been listening. He was like, psh, forget that.
All right, so Clinton Yates has come in extremely hot today and has told us that the Dodgers and the Giants series, which starts tonight, three-game series, must-win situation for the Dodgers. Clinton, can you lay it out for us?
The Dodgers are a team that this season, coming off of a championship run, had to make a decision. Are we going to look at ourselves as front runners in the division, which they've always been in the NL West, or are we going to take a realistic look at who else is on the table, not only in the division, but also in the National League? Now, everybody thought that at the beginning of the season, as I said many times to Gregory, objects in the NL West mirror are closer than they appear. However, the team that everybody thought of was the team in your neck of the woods, Scott, was the Padres. And as it turns out, the San Francisco Giants, if I may, Greg, the actual rivals of the Dodgers, yep, are in fact the most worthy opponent. And look, when you look at how the last series played out, not just the losses, but how it went between Kenley, between the manager, between problems on the infield, like, yo, you can't be melting down against a team that you're supposed to beat like that. And this series is a major bounce-back series, not just in terms of the wins and losses, but in terms of how you play the game and what your team makeup is. If you lose this series, or rather, if you lose this series the same way you lost the last series, you have definitively taken a step back in the psychological battle against your real rivals and your division rivals. And that's a real thing to me. I don't care if it's late July. The games count all the same.
All right, Greg Bergman does not agree. Mr. Dodger himself says this is not a must-win series. Greg, lay out the case.
Well, I will lay out the case that you don't have the right guys in there right now. There's no Mookie Betts. There's no Corey Seager. There is guys that are not playing all that great. You have Luke Raley and Billy McKinney starting in your outfield with
AJ Pollock.
Why do
you say Billy
Pollock?
McKinney's name like you're taking out the trash?
Because who is Billy McKinney that we have to have some, like, what has he done? All I've seen Billy McKinney do is miss balls in the outfield and not get hits. So, I mean, okay. he just got here.
You don't
so,
like Billy McKinney. Him do. All right,
not
that's
get
fine.
Hits and not get, call, not get
that's
balls.
That's fine, but how many rookies and young players were instrumental in the last run, and even the run the year before when they didn't make it all the way to the World Series against the Nats?
Billy McKinney is not coming up from the Dodgers minor league system.
No.
Billy McKinney was traded for from the Mets. That they were just getting rid of him. He's a random. So Luke Raley is coming up from the Dodgers system, but, I mean, he hasn't done anything this year to say any type of confidence whatsoever for him. So I just don't see the Dodgers team that is out there right now. And also with the trade deadline coming up, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe Max Scherzer comes around and then all of a sudden, oh, look what happens there. Now you're a front runner again, and you have every five days having Max Scherzer going out there with Walker Buehler and Julio Urias, and then when Kershaw comes back, I mean, there is plenty of firepower in there. And Mookie Betts coming back, so Seager's right around the corner. Once they're full, then we can really have this must-win situations discussion.
So
but right
they get
now,
swept
no.
And they're how many games out?
Five.
They get swept.
They're
five, bro.
Yeah,
that's
five. Five in July.
Thing. Okay.
2 months still.
You know they count
two
the same.
Two full months. They do. They absolutely do. Right. But they will play again. They have 2 full months to make that up. I mean, we saw a couple of years ago the Dodgers go like 1-11 in the beginning of September. It happens.
God, I wish I had this much confidence, man. See, when you're a Padres fan, you actually never have confidence at all. You actually always think that things are right on the verge of falling apart. And you, Greg, have the flip side, the exact opposite of, it's fine, it's still only July, we're still going to win the World Series, don't worry about it, it's all going to be good. I just don't know that emotion. I wish I did. I don't know that emotion whatsoever.
Give me a fully healthy team, and then we can say, if you get swept with a fully healthy team, then it's like, okay, we got some
problems.
Issues. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But right now, right. I'm not banking on Luke Raley and Billy McKinney.
But
I'm
you
sorry.
Also sound like a guy.
Not the president of the Luke Raley fan club.
No, yeah. I am not anywhere
near
that.
You sound like a guy, though, that sounds very confident that the Dodgers will be able to go out and get a Max Scherzer. And this is kind of one of the stories that's developing, is that Scherzer is on the block, but who's going to get him? You sound like you're confident, like the Dodgers, it's an automatic. There's a lot of people who think the Giants, because of what they've got available in terms of spending cash for next year, and the Padres are very much in it, and any one of these three teams might get him.
Yep.
And all three of them are probably trying to keep him away from the other.
Of course, and it's absolutely not a given in any sense. There's never a trade that is ever a given that's going to happen, especially not for the Dodgers.
Trey Turner just got pulled from the game. For
ooh,
the Nats, by the
ooh,
now,
ooh.
That's a developing ooh. Story.
That's the kind of update that I know Greg loves.
Oh, I yeah. do. I do like that one.
And by
that's
the way,
interesting.
I can see the look on his face right now.
Give me Trey Turner.
Hey, speaking of
Max Scherzer,
where
would you play Trey Turner? Tell ooh. Me how you... No, hold on. Sorry, crap.
No, go
align
ahead.
Your infield with Trey Turner.
Well, if Corey Seager is playing, because he's a shortstop, so it probably fits best as a shortstop. But if you pull him over here and he can win a championship, playing him at second base kind of sounds nice.
Well,
hold
but
on.
Also
you're
Trey Turner
Trey
could be
Turner.
Your shortstop in the future because Corey Seager is going to be a free agent.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So you can keep him around.
There's
Corey
no
Seager
way
is the starting shortstop.
Trey Turner and playing him at second base.
Well,
bro.
I get it, but you have to be right now with Corey Seager and. Gavin Lux out. He's gonna get some. He'll play plenty at shortstop. But Corey Seager is the shortstop.
I'm just trying. To be
it's
fair,
probably
I'm
not happening.
I'm low key trolling because I'd love to see a scenario in which Greg is fighting over whether or not Corey Seager and Trey Turner should be playing shortstop. But we're not there yet. So,
all right, listen. conspiracy theory coming up. Have the Dodgers made a move during the All-Star break to try to get Max Scherzer? We'll get to that conspiracy theory coming up. But coming up next, overrated or underrated? And if you want to jump in on anything we got cooking so far, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Overrated or underrated is next on SLK on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, thank you. And you know what? I'm going to start with Cap this time, give you no time to Google. Let's go birthdays. Alex Rodriguez, who you should know.
Who's that? Who's he? Is he in a movie or something?
Never heard of him.
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
All right, A-Rod. A-Rod or Maya Rudolph?
First of all, Maya... Okay, go ahead, Greg.
No, hold on. Cap. What were you going to say? I'm curious.
I was going to say that Maya Rudolph is an American treasure.
Right.
Okay. Do you know who Maya Rudolph's mother is? Google that.
Maya Rudolph's mother?
Go Google that, and you will understand what my household was like growing up. All right. Google Maya Rudolph's mama, and you're going to find one of the most tremendous black American artists in the history of your life. And Maya Rudolph is a chip off of her block and a legend herself.
Now, Maya Rudolph, was she on SNL?
Yes.
Of course she was on SNL.
Yeah, that's how I know her. I don't really know her in anything else other than that, other than her days on SNL. What is she most famous for? Like, what kind of movies or whatever
exactly
else?
Exactly that.
It's SNL
exactly
mostly,
yeah. She played every black woman on SNL for like 20 years, basically. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that was the casting availability, if you will.
Well, let me
and
just say
A-Rod's
this.
And A-Rod's ex-girlfriend just got through making out with Ben Affleck.
Well, let me just say this. Even if I had no clue who Maya Rudolph was, I would still take Alex Rodriguez as overrated because as great of a ball player as he was, in his after baseball life as a broadcaster, don't really enjoy A-Rod as a broadcaster, you know? Mm. And kind of am intrigued by how he went from being sort of a steroid villain to becoming a guy who seems to have gotten past that part of his career. So either way, I'm going with A-Rod as overrated, which would put Maya as underrated.
Yeah, the guy you want to ask about that is one guy named Jose Canseco. Getting back, that's a joke for all of you that are on the internet. Getting back to Maya Rudolph. Her mother is Minnie Riperton. The song Loving You. Let's get it for the next segment. You've heard the song. You might not remember the song, but that's who she is. I'm not going to sing it. We are not going to do a Boyz II Men rendition.
That's too bad.
Because that would be disrespectful. It's not. It's, she's that much of a vocalist, but her mother is Minnie Riperton. So,
that's too bad because yesterday Laura took the liberty of taking the audio of our rendition of I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men.
Quality production out of Laura.
No doubt. And then just blasted it all over social media. And people who didn't hear it live on the radio got a chance to hear it later on. And now they understand what we're talking about here and what we were singing about and how good we are.
All right, Clinton, next one is LeVar Burton's much-anticipated role as Jeopardy fill-in host began last night, but the spotlight was stolen from him as contestant Patrick Pierce broke the record for the lowest score ever with a negative $7,400. So was a contestant having the lowest score ever during Burton's debut overrated or underrated?
Very overrated. We watched as a family, and by a family, I mean Black America last night because we wanted to see LeVar, a.k.a. Jordy LaForge, a.k.a. the host of Take a Look, It's in a Book, Reading Rainbow. Whoever that other guy is deep in the distance of the story. I didn't even remember that because LeVar came out there looking great. He's got the salt and pepper going. We're rooting for LeVar. Outside of me hosting Jeopardy, LeVar Burton is the only one that needs to do it.
So were you watching last night? Because I wasn't. Like, this is a story that went way past. I mean, it was not even on my radar. But did you really watch last night?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I turned it on. I wasn't listening to it, but I turned it on. Yeah.
Yeah. The only reason I say that is because, honestly, like, I turn on the TV right now, and my first instinct is to try and find whatever Olympic competition is going on. I spent all night last night watching women's volleyball, the U.S. women defeating China last night. And I'm anytime I turn my TV on right now, I turn on the Olympics. So for me, I'm going to go with this story as underrated because whoever the person is that was minus, did you say $7,600, Greg?
$7,400.
Whoever went minus $7,400 decided at some point in the middle of that game, I have to just keep taking risks over and over and over again. And I'll just keep pushing the button. And every time they call on me, even though I don't know the answer, at least I have a chance. And the guy just, you know, blew himself up or girl. Whatever, but minus 7,400, new record. That's underrated to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not his money. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not real money.
No, but I mean, it also makes it kind of a memorable night. So it is still underrated because it was memorable.
And LeVar Burton is hosting Jeopardy. LeVar Burton, again, in the American Icon folder. You know, come on. LeVar's
sure.
the best, man.
He
What's
is.
Your favorite LeVar Burton thing? Is it Star Trek? Is it Reading Rainbow? Is it perhaps something else?
It's Reading Rainbow, and it's not even close. I was a massive Reading Rainbow fan.
So when I was in college, quickly, before we get to the next thing, a buddy of mine was in a band, and they used to play, like, house parties, you know, whatever. They played the little cover stuff. And at the end of every night, they would play a rock version of the Reading Rainbow theme song. Bam.
That's cool.
It was so good. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was so cool. It's a great bit.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Cap. UCLA coach Chip Kelly was asked to compare the state of college football from his time at Oregon to now. And he said, "We played with five wide receivers and in shiny helmets. Now everybody plays with five wide receivers and shiny helmets." Is this quote overrated or underrated?
I'll say the quote is overrated. He's kind of right that in his days at Oregon, Oregon was really one of the early leaders in multiple uniforms. Clinton, I know this comes right into your wheelhouse because I know how much you love uniforms. I actually was one of these people who didn't like all the uniform changes only because my alma mater, every time we would change uniforms from the traditional helmet that said Pitt on the side, nobody ever knew who we were, you know? And then I think it went from Oregon to Maryland because Maryland has all that Under Armour money. And so they would change their uniforms. And now it's a commonplace thing. College football programs might have two or three different uniform changes. I think Chip Kelly's right that they were the early leaders in all of these uniform things, and they were one of the early leaders in really spread offense in college football. But the reason I'm going to say it's overrated is because it worked back then, and he hasn't done jack squat since he's at UCLA. So I'm going overrated.
I'll say it's underrated. I think everything you said, Kaplan, is correct. I mean, they're not exactly a winner. But the only reason why it's underrated is because this is a tremendously self-aware comment. And in a world in which college football coaches are out here making complete fools of themselves, left and right at media days, never mind different administrators in the game, Texas, I'm talking to you. You know, like, this is funny to me. He's like, oh, yeah, that team that never wore the same uniform twice in 2 years, that was us. We're out here looking good. Oh, where? By the way, the food budget, I upped it by $5 million. We're eating good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Chip Kelly kind of gets it more than I think I realized he got it in terms of what this is all about. Didn't love the pros and was like, you know what? I'm going back to my bread and butter. If nothing else, he treats his guys good and they look good. So, you know what? That matters to me.
I'll buy that. I just wish that all of the Oregon success that Chip Kelly had could be, you know, bottled up and utilized at UCLA, because it would be a whole lot more fun if UCLA were good.
That's true. And sidebar, dude, Pitt was in some dark ages with their uniforms, man. That whole, like, gray era and, like, all that other crap. Like, you guys got to get back to the blue and white. That's your offense.
Yeah.
The blue and yellow with the white. That's your offense, and it looks good.
Yeah.
The old school script, I like that. That 20-year period in between, you know what I mean? Oh, disaster.
I know. It was when I left school. You know, I had graduated and already was done. And then they went into this strange other sort of logo and they changed it all up. And you know, everybody complained about it. And then they went back to what you'd call the retro uniforms, which were the original uniforms. And those are the ones they use now, which is really kind of cool. I love those. All right. Stick around. That's overrated or underrated. Coming up, let's get back to this potential conspiracy theory. What did Dave Roberts do at the All-Star game that could possibly help the Dodgers pull off one of the biggest trades as we head towards the deadline? The conspiracy theory that's making the rounds coming up next.
I can't believe how well that worked out.
Yeah.
That was National. Amazing. Anyway, that's Minnie Riperton, loving you. Big hit that you might know from the sort of Quiet Storm circuit. That's Maya Rudolph's mother.
I had no idea. Know the song well. It was like you said, one of those songs where you'll hear it and you'll know it. National Love is Kind Day. Man, oh man. I mean, every day there's another national day, and there's usually like 15 or 20 of them every day now. National Love is Kind Day. What do you say, Clinton Yates? Is love kind? Is love cruel?
I don't know that those are mutually exclusive. It can be both, but as I will quote the great Minnie Riperton, loving you all is beautiful. How about that?
I kind of want to know if either of you can hit that high note that she just hit.
No chance, bro. That's why I told you we're not doing that. Yeah. I've been to way too many cookouts with my drunk aunts, you know what I'm saying, to have that note get botched, to not try it in front of a huge audience of the whole city.
No, I mean, that's a high note right there. Like, that's no joke.
Greg, you think you can hit it?
No, absolutely not.
You leave it to the pros, because I've tried it and it's bad.
No. There's like one pro. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I think we're totally glossing over the fact that Laura completely doesn't believe in love.
Well, yeah, no, we're getting back to that, because today is National Love is Kind Day.
So
Laura, just had a happy accident. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We had something brought up and a callback in a rejoin?
That was
topically related? Come on.
Are you that down on love, Laura? Come on. Really, girl?
Look, I mean, depends what kind of love we're talking about. You know, I love my parents. I love my friends. I love you guys. So I'm in on that kind of love, you know?
Mm-hmm. What kind of love are you out on?
Romantic love. I'm
You're
not
done
with that
with
right
love.
Now.
Right now?
I mean, you know what? I'm 33, so I'm being a little dramatic on the call, but...
I feel you. No, I feel you. There's been a lot of microscopes on Laura's life this week.
Oh,
okay.
Clinton, you don't even know. You missed a lot. The guys in
That's
the
fine. That's totally fine. I'm just saying. I hear you. I get it.
Yeah. I'm going to say today on National Love is Kind Day, I'm going to say that anybody out there who's been in the circumstances that I know I was in, which is you get married, you think you found the girl of your dreams, you have kids, things are good, man, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, things aren't so good anymore, and you're getting divorced, and it's just a complete disaster, and then you wonder to yourself, you actually think to yourself, what am I going to do? Am I going to be single the rest of my life? Am I never going to fall in love again? Am I never going to be in a relationship? I mean, these are the things that go through your mind, you know, at that circumstance of your life. But I will say, from out of nowhere, when you're not looking for it, Laura, all of a sudden, love may come find you.
Oh,
that is a nice message on National Love is Kind Day. What do you think about that?
I mean, that's how I found TiVo, but, you know, here we are, so.
Oof. Oh, I didn't realize TiVo was love.
Cap, where you been?
Well, I don't know. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you was like, ah, we're kind of coming back together, sort of, kind of. And the next thing I know, he got something else going on.
Exactly. Hence the, I don't want love
right now. That's the problem, right. You have described the problem, not the solution.
I mean, there it is. Ding, ding.
Well, for anybody that's going to celebrate tonight, tonight is National Love is Kind Day. Enjoy, celebrate, and love. How about that right there? All right, Clinton Yates, conspiracy theory time. Here goes. You ready?
Yep.
The Dodgers will try, this is all in theory, the Dodgers will try to make a move before the trade deadline to get a frontline starting pitcher. Okay, I think a lot of people might hear that and go, that would stand to reason. I mean, Kershaw's right now on the IL. He's getting a little bit older. The Trevor Bauer thing has turned into a complete and utter disaster. Dustin May was hurt earlier, and he's gone for the rest of the year. Yeah, okay, if the Dodgers are going to look for a real frontline starter, I could buy that. But the question is, did Dave Roberts do something at the All-Star game to try to give the Dodgers a better chance to acquire a premier frontline starter? What do you think about the possibilities of what Dave Roberts did at the All-Star game?
So the story here is that Max Scherzer was like, okay, good starter on the season. Like, you know, nothing wrong with everything that happened in terms of like him with the Nationals and how they, you know, sort of went after everything. But there's a theory that the reason why Dave Roberts, who managed the National League team, snubbed Zach Wheeler was so that he could maybe butter Max's bread, if you will, Greg, to get him at the trade deadline. And I have to say this. This is going to sound a little corny. This is going to sound a little weird. But I kind of love this. Like, that's the power you wield as the manager of the All-Star team. If that's going to work for you, bro, make it work. Like, I don't care if this is true or not. And as a matter of fact, I hope that he was using Denver as a recruiting tool to make his team better. Greg, you've been talking the whole week about how, like, oh, got to pick up arms at the break. Got to pick up arms at the break. And I believe you. But picking up Max Scherzer is a totally different animal than picking up some rando matchup lefty, you know what I mean, who's going to show up in the seventh inning. Picking up Max Scherzer changes the entire outlook, I think, of what your expectations are, quite frankly, to not just maybe we're going to get past the Giants and maybe we're going to find a way to claw our way to the World Series, to, like, you're the favorites. If he's doing what he can do to make that happen, that makes him a smart manager, and that makes that a smart front office.
Man, if Dave Roberts really did this, like, he is the greatest manager that we've ever had. And that's going a little, maybe going a little bit far and a little bit of hyperbole, but that is a hell of a move.
Conspiracy music going.
Yeah, it's a hell of a move. It's a hell of a move. If you can actually get Max Scherzer in a Dodger uniform because you started him in the All-Star break and kind of just like buttered his bread a little bit by doing that, like, yeah, I love that move.
Quality.
Every day of the week, bring me that.
I buy it. Like, I mean, it's a conspiracy theory, but it's one that I'll buy. I'll buy it right now. Like, if you're Dave Roberts, you're thinking to yourself, okay, look, I know what's going on here with our team. I know what's going on with our starting rotation. Scherzer's going to be on the block. We'd really like to have him. And the truth is that Scherzer is going to be in control of where he gets traded to should he get moved. Now, of course, a lot of it's going to be about who's going to offer up what. But Scherzer is going to be the guy that ultimately is going to decide, yes, I'll go here, or no, I won't go there. Right. If Dave Roberts gave him the honor of starting in the All-Star game, and Scherzer just really appreciates it, and they had a chance to bro down over the All-Star break, I think Dave Roberts was using that time and using that honor to say, hey, we're going to come after you, and when you've got choices, come to us. That's what I think.
Totally
I buy
agree.
This conspiracy theory. I buy it.
And I don't think it's got to be that much of a conspiracy. That's smart baseball as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? What do you think, Greg? If you see Scherzer come to the lineup, what are your thoughts?
If I see him come, I think that they should and are the front runners to win the World Series by far.
Well, you think that even without Scherzer?
But like, think about it. When you have, now you're going to have Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler is the best big game pitcher in baseball right now, in my opinion, because of what he's done in game sevens consistently over the last like three or four playoffs. So if you put Max Scherzer in there, who is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball and has been for the last how long, Clinton? 5 years, 6 years, 7 years?
I would say 4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. And then, you know, Clayton Kershaw's still there, and Julio Urias has shown what he can do in the playoffs. He is a monster in the playoffs. So I love the pitching staff all of a sudden. And I'm not worried about not having Trevor Bauer. I'm not worried about not having Dustin May. It really changes everything for this team.
Well, Max Scherzer to the Dodgers, the conspiracy theory that Dave Roberts gave him the start in the All-Star game is one thing, but I will tell you guys this. Jeff Passan of ESPN has been reporting that it will be the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres all trying to do battle to get Scherzer. For the Giants, who are in first place and have a lot of championship DNA still inside that organization, they could be looking at not just renting Max Scherzer for the short term, like the Padres certainly, I think, would be. The Dodgers have the money. They could go out and do something longer term after the year. But the Giants are going to shed, according to Passan, about $100 million of payroll when the season ends. If that's accurate, and of course I think it is because Passan's probably the best baseball reporter there is, that would seem then to give the Giants a potential edge over everybody because they're going to have a whole lot of cash to spend in the offseason.
Maybe, but also he signed a $210 million deal. He's going to be getting paid on that thing for a minute. You know, like I don't necessarily – like. I think that the best team is the team he's going to want to be on, and that gives the Dodgers the advantage because as much as the Giants might be hanging around, I mean, do we really think we see the Giants sort of putting it together for the next five seasons the way we see the Dodgers? Probably not, you know, and I don't really know. I mean, how old is Max, Greg?
Like 37.
37. Like, yep. I don't know that we're looking at a Verlander situation or a Brady situation where this guy's trying to pitch forever. You know what I mean? Like I could easily see Max being like, if I win another World Series, I'm good. I'm Max Scherzer. I'm going to the Hall of Fame. I'm going to count my money and raise my kids, you know? Entirely in the field of possibility.
He's got this clause in his contract. I was reading about it today. I wouldn't have known about it, but I was reading about it today that from there's like 6 years or 7 years out into the future where the Nationals will owe him $15 million a year because he deferred money into the future. He's got kind of a Bobby Bonilla thing happening well into the future. And
that's love to do that, by the way, Cap, if you didn't know. It's part of the reason why a lot of people think they can't keep a lot of free agents. It's what happened to Bryce Harper and why he ended up leaving and going to Philly.
Well, it's one of the reasons why when you think about other teams that might be looking for Scherzer, other than the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants, one name that keeps coming up is Tampa. And I think to myself, Tampa, this is a team that is like going in between the couch cushions to find pennies to pay guys. But the fact is that most people think in baseball that the Nationals will wind up paying that anyway. So when you make that trade, you're not going to take on that money. And so that makes Tampa a contender for Scherzer services. And I think about Tampa, who had back-to-back NHL Stanley Cup champions, the Super Bowl champions in their hometown, and the Rays, who were in the World Series last year and lost to the Dodgers. Like, that's a town that they want to win. And I could see Tampa going after Scherzer as well.
Yeah, you know. Like, who wants to pitch in the Trop? Nobody, but, you know, they're a pretty good team.
All right, listen, we'll talk more about the Dodgers and the Giants as the afternoon goes on. Stick around, everybody, because coming up next, Laura will have for us what we need to know. So what you need to know is coming up next. This is SLK. Clinton Yates is in for Sedano and LZ. We'll be at Rams training camp tomorrow. SLK on 710 ESPN.